Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, it's Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Wars fades away, it's just such a joy to welcome you back to Just a Minute. Now time to introduce you to the four wonderfully talented people who are going to be playing alongside me this week. They are Lucy Porter, Paul Merton, Stephen Mangan, and Zoe Lyons. Please whoop and cheer for all four of them. Come as much of a surprise that I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. So best of luck, everyone. Let's see how that goes. And Lucy, we're going to start with you, my lovely. The subject is sharing is caring. So deeply millennial. Can you speak for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on sharing is caring, starting now?
Sharing is caring. I cried at the STD clinic as my husband and ex-lovers looked sadly on. I am perceived as generous to a fault by my friends and family. Sharing is caring, I cry as I take my children's chocolate Easter eggs before they've even finished them. They don't mind. Sharing is caring. Giving is living. Generosity is knock.
Oh, the pomposity. Zoe, you challenged.
I did, just out of kindness.
Because sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring,
and
Lucy.
Sometimes buzzing is loving.
I felt that Lucy was getting to the point where she really did want to share this topic. It was gently but evidently grinding to a halt.
Generosity turned to animosity now? She's pursuing. But you did pick a tough one to rhyme with. So that's a correct challenge. There was a bit of hesitation there. You spoke for 32 seconds, meaning you've got 28 to finish the subject. To remind you, it is sharing is caring. Your time starts now.
Sharing is caring, unless, of course, I go out for tapas with my friends, in which case sharing is not caring for me. You order what you want and then eat what you have desired from the menu. I am very...
Oh, I sense some psychic preemptive buzzing from Paul.
Yeah, that was a hesitation.
Yeah, it was. Yes. It was a hesitation indeed.
He preempted my double very.
There was going to be. Correct challenge, Paul. You get the topic with 15 seconds remaining, and it's sharing is caring, starting now.
I think when we look at the present day and world events, we can't help but feel to ourselves that everybody is sharing, and that's why we live in such a global caring atmosphere. I can see people don't believe me, and that's because I'm talking a load of rubbish. But I think that one thing we must understand...
You were speaking as the whistle went, Paul. You get the point, and now you get the next subject.
Oh,
time
yeah.
to channel your inner Tom Cruise.
All right.
We've already channeled the outer Tom Cruise, but now let's go a bit deeper.
Yes.
Your subject is your mission, should you choose to accept it. You've got 60 seconds to tell us something about that, starting now.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is, of course, the thing that starts off every Mission Impossible television series, which I watched religiously from the 1960s through to about sometime in the 80s, I think it ran to. And every week they managed to carry out the mission that was somehow considered very improbable to get to be completed. It should have been called Mission Success.
Stephen, you challenged.
Yes, hesitation.
Yes.
There
was. Which means you get the topic, which, to remind you, is your mission, should you choose to accept it. You've got 42 seconds to bring it home, starting now.
My mission, should you choose to accept it, my agent said to me, was to appear on Just a Minute. And I said, yes, what could possibly go wrong? Well, you're about to find out. The mission on this programme is to speak for a minute without hesitation.
Lucy.
Sadly, minute.
Yes, just a minute, and then speak for a minute. Ah! But you did very well, and just remaining 25 seconds now with you, Lucy. A good poach from you. And to remind you, your mission, should you choose to accept it, starting now.
I think Mission Impossible would be better if the things they had to do were truly unachievable, like get a same-day GP appointment or understand anything the President of the USA is saying. Often, when your mission, should you choose to accept it, features in films, it is on paper and the agent then has to eat the thing that the...
I really want to see that film. Eat that thing. Do you know what? Paul, you buzzed, first yes. of all. Your challenge?
Well, it was sort of hesitation. It was grinding down the side.
It was a correct challenge. Yes. And you buzzed in with a quarter of a second. That's what makes
surely
it so
that's
good.
Impossible.
Well, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to fill that quarter of a second starting now.
Then the tape recorder blew up.
Right, Stephen, let's see what we've got in store for you. Your subject is Mr. Darcy. Have you brought your britches? What can you tell us about Mr. Darcy? You've got 60 seconds. Your time starts now.
Mr. Darcy pulled himself from the lake, his shoulder muscles rippling, his six-pack glistening, and he said, "That's another shirt ruined." The year is 1813 or perhaps 12. England is at war with Napoleonic France and the United States of America. But Mrs. Bennett, living in Hertfordshire, is only concerned about finding a rich husband for one of her daughters, Elizabeth, preferably. Mr. Darcy was perceived to be haughty and arrogant, but actually the poor love was just shy. He didn't like going out, found parties difficult, would be found in the corner, sitting there crying into a bucket made from a pig's bladder, no doubt. Such was the way things worked in that time in this country. His mother was annoying and played brilliantly by Alison Steadman in one of the 7.5 million adaptations of Pride and Prejudice that this country has seen.
Oh, I got quite emotional then. Yeah. Mainly, it was
I'm off. Thank you, everybody.
Sort of. I got more from that than I did for the entire 3 years of my degree. Thank you for contextualising the work, as well as speaking for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating. You get a point for completing that task, an extra point for doing it in one fell swoop. Well done. Zoe, the next subject is, I've recently started collecting. Recently started collecting. I can't wait to hear it. Your time starts now.
I've recently started collecting the compliments from random strangers. I have opened my heart to their delightful comments on my appearance and indeed my demeanour. "You look gorgeous today," they will say to me, and I will think to myself, I will put that with my collection. And I have also recently started collecting bees. I've got one at the moment. It got caught behind the window and I thought, sod it, I'll keep that. So I am now officially a keeper of such an insect. We're going to have massive adventures together, and maybe I will start collecting other animals as well. Maybe giraffes or bigger things like rhinoceroses, possibly even an elephant, but I have to consider the storage, which is always something you do have to bear in mind when you are a collector of things, particularly hobbies that can't be just stored away under cupboards or indeed on shelves. I've also recently started collecting buttons. I don't know why, but...
What I wish the listeners could see is the physical pain.
It's really
the physical pain getting over that line. It is a verbal and in sort of mental marathon, and it's joyous to
a
watch.
A minute is a long time, isn't it, though?
I thought you'd been stung by your bee, to be honest.
Well, you now know elephant storage. That's something you can get
elephant
into.
Elephant storage. You don't get that in IKEA.
You really don't.
No.
A trunk.
It's a big trunk.
Terrible. Don't.
You had such love in the room, you've turned
it. I blew it.
So, well, at the end of that round, let's have a look at a few scores. Right, so, in third place, we've got Lucy. In joint second place, we've got Zoe and Stephen. And currently in the lead, Mr. Paul Merton. Lucy, we're right back with you again, and the subject is vaping. Can you speak without hesitating, repeating or deviating? Your time starts now.
Vaping is all the rage with young people, along with big eyebrows and Taylor Swift. You can get vapes in many flavours. Cherry, raspberry, apple, banana, duck à l'orange, David Cameron's memoirs, sadness. People vape on the street constantly. I was in the library.
Stephen.
Vape twice, and is it vaping?
We did have vape twice, yes. And the subject was vaping on the card, which means that was spotted. Indeed.
Yeah. Not here to make up the numbers, you know.
Tell you what, you started so softly, and now there's a real glint in your eye. Yeah. You've changed.
He's become a killer.
Yes, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Correct challenge. You've got 38 seconds to tell us something about vaping starting now.
The thing I find irritating about vaping is the crazy, wacky names they give to the vapes, like Bishop's Foot and Athlete's Toenail. You don't need a...
No! Oh. A hesitation, sadly. Yes,
it was indeed. I've not vaped on Bishop's Toenail. Imagine you get a right popcorn lung off that. Yes, correct challenge. So, Paul, you get the point and the subject with 26 seconds remaining on vaping, starting now.
My favourite vaping flavour, without any doubt, is Tower Hamlets. There's something about the oaky, woody taste at the back of your throat that I relish a great deal. I used to smoke roll-ups back in the 1970s, but now that vaping is here, I think to myself, perhaps I should take it up. There's something about vaping, the way that cloud of smoke comes out, like a little vapory clouds, and you think, oh. Watch out for the extraneous S.
Yes. Stephen, you challenged.
Yeah, I just wanted to say you're doing really well.
And that's lovely.
Yeah.
And that means you've turned back to the light again. You're starting to be more positive towards people. That's good. You keep the subject with 4 seconds remaining, Paul, starting now.
I suppose the thing about vaping is it is addictive. So if you don't start, the best way to finish is to never do it. And that's the end.
Speaking as the whistle went, you get the point, Paul. And we are back with you for this subject, which is... I'm worried about this. Mm-hmm. The time I went to Sue Perkins' birthday party.
Oh.
Can you speak for 60 seconds on the time I went to Sue Perkins' birthday party, starting now?
I wasn't invited. Was that the minute up? Was that the minute?
I feel bad about it still. I really do feel bad about it. Zoe, you interrupted Paul's sadness.
Yeah, there was a sense of bitterness there and a hesitation. Yeah.
I mean, bitterness doesn't fall within the rules of just a minute, but it is a light entertainment show and therefore it should. yes, of course, you get the point. There was a...
hesitation.
..a gaping quietude that needed to be filled. So, yes. So you now have... Oh, don't tell him you were invited. He's going to get so upset. The time I went to Sue Perkins' birthday party, 57 seconds starting now.
I was only once invited to Sue Perkins' birthday...
Oh, aren't you lucky?
Paul, this isn't helping you. It really isn't.
It's not helping at all.
It's good to get it out, but there's other forums available.
I know. I'll put it behind. It's behind me.
All right, OK.
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right.
I'm OK.
Zoe, you get to carry on. 54 seconds remaining, starting now.
It was a very, very... Oh!
No, don't get a thing about
Such
it.
Such shame. Such shame.
Paul, again, you're very, very quick on that buzzer today.
Well, it was, as we know, there was a very repetition.
That's a correct challenge. I'm afraid we are back with you to revisit.
I'll pretend I went.
I feel bad. The time I went to Sue Perkins' birthday party, starting now.
It was the most marvellous affair. There was elephants on shelves. Mr Darcy came out of a pond. Everybody was vaping, sharing and caring. What an extraordinary event it was. I remember saying to myself, only Sue Perkins would have the generosity of heart to charge us a small admission fee to come to this magnificent party. And what a great day it was. She was there celebrating her 70th birthday. And I know that people said you don't look a day over 68.
Thank you, Stephen, for sparing my blushes. I don't even care there's a challenge, but we might as well do the procedural
thing. I think the bitterness still came out.
Yeah. 2 days.
Yeah. That's what it felt like to me. Listen to Horrific. Thank you, Stephen, for being my Mr. Darcy in that scenario. Correct challenge. And even if it wasn't, I'd still be giving you the topic. 25 seconds remaining on the time I went to Sue Perkins' birthday party, starting now.
I have been invited to every single birthday party Sue Perkins has ever given, starting when she was 7, and it was a Dolly Parton-themed party. The year after, we were Elvis. Then we became Elvis Costello. What am I doing?
I was in
of
a really...
all the people, Elvis and Elvis Costello.
I mean, I was massively into various manifestations of Elvis. It in the 7 to 8 period. Paul, you've challenged.
Oh, unusually, a repetition of Elvis.
It was a correct challenge, but I do not wish to hear further from you. So, Stephen, it's back with you. You get the... Stephen, back to our parties we shared. There was the Elvis years, we've discussed that. You've got 12 seconds to tell from 9 onwards, starting now.
My favourite part of recent Sue Perkins parties is the moment the cake is brought out and there, in florid font, the icing reads, "Thank goodness Paul Merton isn't here again."
Don't take it personally, Paul.
No, no, not at all, no. I'm glad everybody had a good time.
Now, Stephen, you were speaking as the whistle went, you get that point, and you also get the next subject, which is my biggest secret. You've got 60 seconds on that subject, and it starts now.
My biggest secret is, ipso facto, a secret, and it is dark and dirty, so I cannot wait to share it with you all. It all began, for me at least, I can't speak for the rest of you, when I was born. That was the start of my secret journey into the chasm of unexcited and thrilling knowingness. The blonde...
What is he talking about?
It was getting a bit 50 Shades of Grey. The thrilling knowingness, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm having some sort of breakdown.
You have been emotionally extremely complex in the last 50. You've gone through everything.
The thing is, I spoke for a minute. I can't believe you're asking me to speak again. It's rude.
You don't get to do a glory lap and then leave.
That's what I thought would happen. I'd be carried shoulder high down Regent Street.
Budget cuts, mate. Paul, you buzzed.
I don't have a challenge, no. I just felt he needed a pause.
There was a slight winding down there, but being a slightly less seasoned player of the game, I'm going to give Stephen the benefit of the doubt, which means he gets to carry on his...
Yes, he's... After all, he is a favourite of yours, isn't he? I've been to every party since he was 7.
I can't wait to find out a bit more about that thrilling knowingness or whatever it was. 35 seconds starting now.
In Pride and Prejudice, Mr. Darcy had a secret, sexy and thrillingly charismatic. I can't believe I was never asked to play him. But his secret was the same secret.
Oh, no, I think it was about... He wasn't talking about my biggest secret, but I think he's about to do that, so... I think he was talking about Mr. Darcy's biggest secret, not
is
his own.
Like, is this like the Minority Report, Paul, where you can see things in the future that haven't happened yet but will?
I think he was about to say, which is the same as my secret.
Were you about to say
exactly
that?
Exactly what I was about
this
to say.
It's OK. Yeah. What do we do in this situation where someone has accurately, psychically predicted? Yes.
Give it to him.
You've asked me to give him the point, and for that reason I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, OK.
Because I'm going to be deliberately contrary today.
Yo, give it to Paul. That's not work, does it?
The more you don't like it, the more I want to give it to you. All right, you've got 22 seconds on that, Paul, for your extraordinary psychic prediction. And I want everyone to know I will not be taking any further instances of mediumship on this show. So, 22 seconds, Paul, starting now.
Dressed as a clown, I've attended every one of Sue Perkins' birthday parties since 1988. She has never realised that it was me behind the white makeup and the red nose and the exaggerated eyebrows. The colourful suit and the big boots never gave any indication to my real identity. Yes, it's my biggest secret and I don't care. I shall tell the world here on Radio 4, I was that circus entertainer.
I always thought that was something about that clown, something familiar. well done, Paul. You were speaking as the whistle went, means you get the point. Zoe, this subject is for you, one for the IKEA fans. Your subject is interior design on a budget. Let's hear what you've got to say in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating, starting now.
Interior design on a budget is very achievable. What you don't need to spend money on is stupid paint with silly names like whale's tooth or duck appendix. You can just use old dishwater water to give a lovely dappling effect on the walls.
Stephen.
Dishwater water.
Dishwater water.
dishwater water.
It's dishwasher water. It's how they say it in IKEA. It is. It's dishwasher water. It's dishwasher water.
Oh, it's Swedish.
It's Swedish. Thank
oh, it's
you,
Swedish.
It is Swedish. It's Swedish.
So versatile.
Yeah. It's a lovely sort of murky grey.
Do you know what? I will... If you can give me another word in Swedish, I will give you the benefit of the doubt.
ABBA.
You've got 44 seconds remaining to hopefully stop insulting that most delightful of nations and carry on with the subject, which is interior design on a budget. Starting now.
Instead of going for an interior fountain, just put a nail through a pipe and it will give you some incredible water feature. People will come around and go, my goodness, you must have...
That's a buzz from Lucy.
Well, now, she just said water feature. Yeah. Were we counting dishwater water?
Lucy, we can't go back.
She's bilingual. The first was in Swedish, the second one was in English.
Yeah. 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 Water feature's very British, whereas dishwater water is clearly Scandinavian.
It's from the fjords, isn't it?
It's in the fjords. Lots
yes.
of... Yes.
I've had enough of this. It's yours. Lucy, correct challenge. A repetition of water, albeit in a slightly more conventional pronunciation. 32 seconds. You've got interior design on a budget starting now.
Interior design on a budget is all about lighting. I favour candles, and the way I get mine is going to 80th birthday parties and simply swiping the cake, and then I stick that in my lounge, and I've got cake and...
Never has cake met with such disappointment.
The Swedish kirk.
Kuchen. Stephen, you challenged.
Two cakes.
Yeah. Yes. In any other environment, that would be welcome. But
always
not...
have two cakes at your birthday, don't we, Sue?
Oh, we do.
By the time we've got rid of that annoying clown, we can really relax. two cakes, absolutely correct challenge, Stephen. 17 seconds remaining. Interior design on a budget, your time starts now.
Interior design on a budget, not to be confused with interior design on a budgie, which is altogether a different kettle of fish. The way to get the maximum amount of bang for your buck is...
Zoe.
Spang for your buck. I don't recognise that from my Scandinavian
just
glossary.
Just north of Stockholm, bang for your buck.
Yeah, spang for your buck. do you get more spang for your buck from your dishwasher water?
Stephen, I think it was a correct challenge, but do you want to try and justify what that was? Was there any... Were you channelling ancient Norse or...?
Mm. Yeah, it's a dialect of Finnish. Mm. Yeah, the dishwasher powder. It's a dialect of Finnish.
Well, I mean...
That's just ridiculous.
If you can say another word in Finnish, I'm inclined to let you carry on.
Umlaut.
But that's German.
Exactly. Yeah. But weirdly, it's the same in German and Finnish.
Yeah.
It's
but a German word.
Yeah.
They just say it the same.
They say umlaut in Finland. Please stop me talking.
Oh, I don't know. You should do wonders for our listeners in Finland.
Zoe, I'm going to give it to you. I think that's a correct challenge. And the subject is back with you. We've gone all the way around the world, certainly in terms of our accents. It's back with you. Interior design and a budget, 4 seconds starting now.
Instead of wood chip, I use actual potato chips on the wall, which gives a real texture.
Right, that's the end of that round. Let's see how the scores are shaping up very, very nicely. So we've got Lucy in fourth place, followed by Zoe. We've got Stephen in second, and still just slightly ahead, Mr. Paul Merton. And with that, we move into the final round. Paul, the worst piece of advice I've ever been given.
What
Can you tell us about that? The worst piece of advice I've ever been given. Your time starts now.
When you go to Sue Perkins' birthday party, dress as a clown and you'll be welcomed by the rest of show business. I think the worst piece of advice I was ever given, I was about 19 years old, working at the civil service in Tooting Broadway, the Department of Employment, and the manager said to me, he said, now, he seems a bit far off, I know, he said, because you're still not 20, but we do have a very good pension scheme here. And if I had stayed with that particular branch of government, I would have left maybe 2 years ago, but instead, I embarked on a career in show business, and my favourite shows that I get involved in...
Oh, Zoe.
There was a slight hesitation
there. There was a little...
Yeah, I had to make
very...
for the S.
It was...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Correct challenge. You get the point. 33 seconds, please, Zoe. Starting now.
The thing about the worst piece of advice I was ever given, I will never forget it. It was to wear a rubber suit on a hot day on a sandy beach. The...
We're all there with you. Yeah. Oh, the pull of that as you tried to remove it.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, I was just having flashbacks and it just... took my foot off the gas. Steve, I knew I wouldn't make that.
Steve, you challenged.
Yeah, hesitation.
Yes, it was. It was
good imagery, though, wasn't it? It was nice. That'll stay with you forever.
I tell you, that's painted a real picture. It really has. 23 seconds on the clock. Worst piece of advice I've ever been given, starting now.
The worst piece of advice I have ever been given was about 6 years ago when someone said to me, why don't you go for a walk on that beach over there? Because turning the corner, what did I come across but Zoe Lyons dressed in a rubber suit, sand in her hair, seashells on her neck and seal pups on her feet. She had
Paul
no...
Buzzed.
He did repeat on her.
He did repeat
quickly.
On her.
On her, on her.
That's a correct challenge. You get the point. But I do sort of want to, in the dwindling 2 seconds, just want to hear about the seal pups on the feet.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
I just want to know why. And perhaps best place to tell us is Zoe. You've got 2 seconds. What were they doing? And do the RSPCA know, starting now?
Hush puppies are not what you think they are.
Sadly, that is all we have got time for. Let's have a look at those all-important final scores. Lucy slightly trending in fourth, then we've got Zoe in third, Stephen, a wonderful second place, and just slightly ahead, today's winner, Mr. Paul Wharton! Lovelies, we are going to have to leave you. First of all, thank you to the incredible players of the game, Lucy Porter, Paul Merton, Stephen Mangan and Zoe Lyons. Of course, we are indebted to Ian Messiter and the wonderful Nicholas Parsons. We also thank Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so very delicately in my lug hole. The producer was Georgia Keating, and this was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. This is me, Sue Perkins, saying thanks so much for listening wherever you are, and please do join us again next time we all play Just a Minute.